Our second lesson comes from 1 John chapter 3. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness from God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us.
Thank you, George. Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of John, and this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. So hear now and listen for how God is speaking to you through these words of John's gospel. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Here ends the reading, and thanks be to God. Your beliefs don't make you a better person. Your actions do. Your behavior does. Your beliefs don't make you a better person. Your behavior does. Those of you that are on Facebook may have seen this. There's an image has been passed around for the last few weeks. I've seen a lot of my friends post a little photo that says that. Your beliefs don't make you a better person. Your behavior does. Or in other words, I don't care what you say you believe. I care what you do. I care how you live out what you say you believe. And that, I think, is what the writer of this letter of John is saying. Something similar to that when he says, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And I'm sure that he wants us to have loving words and loving speech, and to speak only that which is loving and edifying and building up of other people, but wants more than just words, wants action, wants us to act on what we say. Otherwise, what we say means nothing. Another phrase that was popular a few years ago was to walk the talk. Do what you say you believe. Don't just say it. And you can proclaim what you believe. There's nothing wrong with that, saying what you believe. That's part of what we do as communities. We come together and say, I believe this, and I believe this, and let's talk about it and discuss it, and maybe together find a path toward truth. So you can proclaim what you believe about the Trinity, or that you accept Jesus Christ, or that you believe in him, or that you accept him as personal Lord and Savior, or whatever doctrine is important to you, transubstantiation, consubstantiation, something else, whatever you want to proclaim, proclaim it loudly and repeatedly, that's fine. But if you're not living in love, which is ultimately what we're called to do as Christians. If there isn't some component of living in love, then whatever we proclaim doesn't matter. As Paul said, without love, you're just a clanging gong. We are called to action. When Jesus offered his great commission to the disciples at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, this after he has been raised from the dead and he and the disciples walk to the hill and he gives them this final commission before he ascends up to heaven, he gives them this commission and he didn't say, go home, come up with a list of beliefs and nuanced doctrinal points for people to argue over and to use as a litmus test, or even better yet, to use as a cross to crucify one another for false belief and faithlessness based on adherence or not to that belief. And be sure to definitely, you want to go hang out in your upper room writing pamphlets and tracts, excoriating and condemning your opponents for their lack of precise and right belief. At least my Bible, Jesus doesn't say that. Although if you look around at Christianity, it seems like maybe there are some Bibles that say that. Those who care more about belief than discipleship, about what we say than what we do. What Jesus said to his disciples and says to us was to go out. Go out into the world. Make disciples. Baptize. Love your neighbors. Love your enemies. Forgive. Create community. Preach the good news of God's love and grow this community that Jesus had started. And to do that by loving your neighbor, and to do that through the power of love and the power of forgiveness. Jesus says, go and do what I have done. Go and live like me. That's belief. Action. To live it. To do it. Action is true belief. I think what we do says a lot more about what we believe than anything we say about belief. And I think the writer of this letter is letting us know that belief is a good thing. It's not anti-belief. We do need things to believe in. Having some belief is important. At a minimum, we ought to follow Jesus, because at some level we at least believe that he's worth following, that his message is good and right and true. But it's the beginning of the journey. It's not the entirety of the journey to believe. To believe is to begin, to take that first step. Belief has to inspire action, specifically loving action. And it says in verse 17 of this passage from first letter of John, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? That person's belief is empty. And ours is not an individualistic faith. Christianity is not an individualistic faith, although there's certainly a strong temptation to have it be that. The me and Jesus kind of Christianity. And I think we see some of that, a fair amount of that, in the United States and other, say, industrialized, Western, rich countries, where we don't have so many people struggling day to day to live. I think there is that temptation to have the Christianity become this individualistic kind of faith, but it's not. We're a faith of community and a faith of relation. God exists in community. God came to us in Jesus Christ to be in relationship with us, to take part in the world, to be part of the world, and for Jesus to be in relationship and to build and reform our idea of community. A community ought to be based on love, mutual care for one another, and concern and compassion. In relationship with our neighbors, especially with the least of these and with those that we maybe wouldn't otherwise choose to be in community with. Jesus did not really talk so much about right belief, but about right action. Belief in action. And our salvation does not come from what we believe, but comes from Jesus' action. It came and it comes through what Jesus did and does. And we had nothing to do with it. Have nothing to do with it because Jesus has already done it. Jesus has given it to us. It is the gift that has already been offered and gave it to us to free us up so that we can go about the business of service, which I think is true freedom to be able to go out and to serve. Jesus is the great shepherd and has shown us how to live. And if you think of the sheep and the shepherd and the shepherds out in the field with the sheep. And if the shepherd says to the sheep, today we're going to go over to this green pasture because the grass is better and it's more nourishing and we need to let us go there. The sheep don't look at the shepherd and say, yes, I believe. And then stay where they are. They go. They show their belief by going, by obeying, by believing. They don't have to say it. They do it. They just go. And if we consider the ancient creeds, I know in the adult Sunday school, we've been talking about church history for the last couple of weeks, and the creeds have come up and maybe not talked about specific ones, but certainly talked about the process of how they came to be and why we have them. And a lot of, I would say all of those creeds are really more about belief. There are arguments over sort of nuanced points of the faith, and we're made to say, all right, this is what we believe about the God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. And they're very nice and beautiful and good things and important in their own way. We need to know what we believe in at some level, but there's not a lot in those creeds about life, about our response, what we're to do in response to what we believe. It's a list of things that we, there's just this list of beliefs. And they are often used as a test of faith. If you believe this, you can be part of the church. Or if you're going to be part of the church, this is what you have to believe. This test of faith. But not the question, can you live these beliefs? Can you live them outside the church? If you can do that, then you can be part of the church. It's kind of reduced our faith down to beliefs. And I see this in other churches. Now that we have the internet, it's easy to go to find out what churches believe, and I like to go out and look at church websites, and especially the sort of non-denominational churches, these independent churches that aren't affiliated with anything, they're just kind of started by a guy or a couple of people, and read their, they most always have some section on their webpage of, this is what we believe. And they have stuff about the Trinity and the inerrancy of Scripture and the infallibility of Scripture. Usually those churches are big on inerrancy and infallibility and the divinity of Jesus and Christ as the head, the only head of the church. And that's very much Protestant Reformation stuff there. Christ is the head of the church, not the minister, not the pope, not any human being. And salvation to all who profess belief in Jesus Christ. And these churches tend to be pretty clear that they're not works-based salvation, but salvation by faith, and that is very much the Protestant Reformation in reaction to this sort of Catholic idea at the time that we earn our way to heaven, or variously earn our way to hell by what we do or fail to do. But salvation to those who profess belief in Jesus is still, I think, as I see it, is a kind of a work. It's also a very nebulous statement to say, I believe in Jesus. I'm not really saying a whole lot. Or I believe in the Bible. You know, be a little more specific. What does that mean to say that? But it's also a kind of a work. It turns salvation into something that we do. We believe, or I believe, and therefore, now I have God's love. I have earned salvation. But God has already done that. We're already saved, redeemed, granted eternal life, have been given the keys to the kingdom, freed from the penalty of sin, however you want to phrase that or word it, we have it. Jesus did that on the cross and did that by rising up on Easter morning, by defeating death. We already have that. And their ancestors in the United Church of Christ, the Congregational Church, goes back to the Puritans and the Pilgrims. We're not big on this idea of right belief. They were organized very specifically as non-doctrinal, non-creedal, no tests of faith. There was no, do you believe this question, to get into the church, but testimonies of faith. And we still have that tradition, these testimonies of faith. This is what I believe, and I live it out this way. And we say that to one another. Well, this is what I believe, and I live it out this way. And in community and in dialogue, we hopefully come to a greater sense of truth and what Jesus would have us do, but no specific belief requirement or doctrinal requirement to become part of the community, but that as a community, we try to come to live into our salvation and to live into who Jesus calls us to be, to go beyond believing in and doing more, acting like Jesus. And so we have in our United Church of Christ tradition, not creed or doctrine, but a statement of faith, and we're going to read that after the hymn. I thought this was a good Sunday to read our statement of faith again. That has belief statements, but in the form of what God has done and what God does, and in the form of what we then are to do. It's a very action-oriented statement of faith that I think makes it very beautiful and useful and helpful for us, how we are to respond. And the way that it's worded, there's a lot of room for movement in how we respond, but there is implicit in it the sense that there must be some movement. It's not a this is what I believe statement, but more a this is how we are called to live statement. So think of that as we read it after the hymn. I leave you with that challenge. Amen.